Well, I have spent a lot of time this week trying to learn about patience. There are a couple of very good sources of learning about patience this week. One was spending time in my Bible and concordance websites and looking up what the Bible has to say about patience. And the other was at a steakhouse last night with the family. Where first thing you come in the door and you find out how long you're going to wait. Right? And some wait more patiently than others. Some are 5 and 8 and 9 years old. And they find out that once the flashing thing does go off and you get to go to your table, what do you do then? Wait for the waiter. Who finally, after we make her wait and come back until we get all the orders figured out, then what do? Wait for the food. Why is it taking so long? We all ordered steaks. It's going to take some time. That was my other classroom of patience this week. I'm going to leave it up to you to decide which I learned more from and which I was tested more by. But as we're getting into our next fruit of the Spirit, we've looked at love, joy, and peace, and now we're looking at patience. It's the first Sunday of a new fruit of the Spirit, so this is where I get up here and complain about all the possible things to talk about in the Bible and how can I possibly narrow it down. I'm going to try not to do that too much this morning. But like with the others that we've looked at, there is a real breadth variety of different ways that the Bible discusses patience. And so we're going to try to lay down a bit of a roadmap for where we're going to go the next 3 weeks and introduce this idea. First thing I want you to try to think about is I want you to think, how exactly would you explain to somebody from a third world country, a developing nation, the idea behind fast food drive-through windows? So we're already starting from the basis of we're hungry, and instead of growing something or slaughtering something or even preparing something, we're going to go and have somebody else do it for us. But even with that convenience, we can't be bothered to actually park the car and get out, wait in line like animals for somebody to give us the food that they made for us. No. They have to build an extra window on the side of their building so that we can drive up without having to even turn the radio off, maybe down a little bit. You know, we'll turn it down. But we don't have the air conditioning's going, and we've got our songs, and we need to be able to get that food quicker. Have you ever thought about trying to explain that to somebody who doesn't have unlimited means, who doesn't have the things that we may take for granted? In Psalm 126, it paints this picture of what joy looks like. And in verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 126, it talks about somebody who does not go to the fast food drive-through window. It says, they sow in tears and reap with songs of joy. To go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, and return with songs of joy. I don't know if you have taken time to think about this image. But this is the picture of somebody who has to make a choice between eating these handfuls of seeds, having the family eat better that day, or taking it out and spreading it in the field and waiting and hoping and trying to get by until those seeds grow. And then you can understand the return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. It's a different kind of worldview. There is more patience that is required here in Psalm 126. And I think that is perhaps so far outside of how we think, where, you know, we see 5 or 6 cars backed up to the drive-thru. Either we're going someplace else, or fine, I'll get out and go in. Maybe we can go faster. We were at Tropical Smoothie Cafe yesterday, and Calvin was counting the cars in the drive-thru because they're wrapped all around the building. And we're commenting about how people really want these smoothies. And we saw one car. We see this lady. She wasn't having this line. And eventually, sure enough, she had a face, backed up, and got out of there. And I said to Calvin, look at that. Somebody said, that smoothie's not worth waiting in this line. We don't do patience well. This time of year, with the basketball tournament going on, is maybe one of the few times that you have to watch commercials. And how do you start to feel when every 4 minutes of gameplay, plus every timeout, they go to commercial? And you see the same ones, and we start to shake. We're not used to this. Right? I think patience is something that we struggle with. Like I said in my corner on the bulletin, we point to it as something that kids can't handle, but I think sometimes it's just the kids expressing the things that we're thinking as well. I remember one particular preacher who tended to go long. This is not autobiographical, but I'm not as hard on this guy anymore. And about 20 to 25 minutes into his sermons, that sometimes were just ramping up at that point, kids would start to fuss and cry, and there'd be problems and people having to carry kids out. And I would say to him, sometimes more often to Rachel, those kids aren't doing anything wrong. It's time for the sermon to be done. And the people who are thinking that it's time for the sermon to be done and being polite about it aren't saying anything, but the kids that don't know any better are crying, and they're saying, it's time for me to get out of here. I think sometimes kids are just more honest about it. I think we all struggle with patience. And I've confessed that where I come into the struggle with patience, it's amazing how often, how consistently it will happen. I'll be out at the camp working with a group of junior high students and doing everything I can to be calm and to talk with them and try to get them through. And their leaders say, wow, you are so patient. I don't know how you can do it. And then I come home and Jared says one thing to me and I start hollering. We each have those areas where we struggle. And so let's look at some of the things that the Bible has to say about patience and maybe start to get somewhat of a plan about how we can learn to practice this fruit of the Spirit. So, a few quick thoughts. I'm going to try not to take too long on any of these because they're kind of going to set up the next few weeks. There we go. Promises, promises. When we're trying to have patience, the obvious place to start, perhaps, is, first of all, just don't be in such a hurry. Perhaps if we are not so focused on what we have to do and how soon we have to do it, maybe when we have to wait, it won't be so hard. As I've been thinking about patience this week, I've been trying to think about what is the opposite of patience look like. And obviously, you say impatience. I say thank you for the circular definition. But I said, what does it look like? What do we say when we are protesting having to have patience? And I had this idea earlier in the week, and it was definitely tested out yesterday at Lucky Steakhouse. What do we say when we don't want to be patient? I think it usually comes out as, well, I want. Why are you struggling? Well, because I want that. I want to watch more basketball. I want my food, and I want it now. I want those test results. I want... Patience comes down to when we are having to wait for one reason or another for something that I want. And very often, the reason we are waiting is because, as much as we don't want to admit it, there are lots of other people that live around us. Lots of other people in that line. How terrible, five cars in front of me. Well, five cars of hungry people who also probably deserve to eat today. And even though I want it now, those people deserve that. I want my results. So does everybody else who the radiologist told that they're going to be put it on a rush. Because, you know, they say that to everybody, probably. Patience is about not being so, for lack of a better word, selfish. Patience is being able to recognize there are other people who have needs and rights and who are not just supporting players in our own movie. Even though we can trick ourselves into thinking that sometimes. I don't think it's a coincidence. And I did think it was funny that this passage didn't come up at all in 4 weeks we were talking about love. But in 1 Corinthians 13, when it's talking about love, I don't think it's a coincidence that it begins with patience. Patience requires us to think about somebody else. And I think love ought to as well. If we are going to get into kindness and not envying and not boasting and not being proud and all these things about love, we need to first stop, hit pause on the I want, and focus on the person who you're trying to show love to. It's important when we stop being in such a hurry to get what we want, we start to look at others and we start to understand the others around us because we are being patient. Hebrews chapter 6, while this is not the Hall of Fame chapter that we get later in Hebrews, but it does start to introduce some of those ideas of following the example of some of the great heroes of faith. In Hebrews 6, it talks about, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. And it goes to a great example. We may end up talking more about him next week, but it talks about Abraham. So God made a promise to Abraham. And Abraham waited patiently. How patiently did Abraham wait? How long did Abraham wait? Abraham was a very old man before he started to see any of the promises that God made to him start to take place. Said, you're going to be a father of nation. Sands on the seashore, stars in the sky, right? How many children did Abraham have by the time he died? Not too many. Maybe more than you think. He had some children with Keturah that don't get talked about as much, but not too many. said you're going to have great land. I'm going to promise this land to your descendants. How much land did Abraham own by the time he died? Just the place where he buried his wife. And was buried himself. But Abraham waited patiently, and slowly he saw those promises start to show fruit. Slowly he started to see God's blessings. Abraham knew how to not be in a hurry. Is it loud? Or just... Huh?
It's
buzzing. Yeah, I hear that.
Just turn it off.
Dan, give me a signal if you need to back on, okay? I'm being told that this is more annoying than I am. Which, I'll take that. All right, Abraham knew not to be in such a hurry. It wasn't going to do him any good. God had a plan for him. God was going to be faithful to that plan. But it was going to be on God's time. And so maybe we just need to not be in such a hurry. Because the truth is, when we are impatient, that's when we really start to worry. Right? I'm going to confess one thing. Technically, in the NIV, patience is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. I had to change the verses to meditate on here for the year, because technically, in the NIV, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, which I'm just going to say means patience. Other versions do say that. The song we do with the kids says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I don't feel bad changing it, but I will admit here, this is a change that has been made, because there is an element in the way the Bible discusses patience, especially in the New Testament, that shows that patience is often not just sitting around and waiting, but it is bearing through hard times. It is finding your way through even when it's difficult. Which might obviously bring us to Job. We'll probably talk some more about Job. But he only mentions patience one time in all of the back and forth discussions in Job. Patience only comes up one time. But notice how he talks about it. What strength do I have that I should still hope? What prospects that I should be patient? Do I have the strength of stone? Is my flesh bronze? Do I have any power to help myself now that success has been driven from me? Notice what ideas he puts next to each other. He says, if I don't have patience anymore, that means I don't have hope anymore. If I have hope, then I am able to be patient. Patience is what gets us through those hard times. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I know we have a few guests here that we're just getting to know. We probably haven't. Nobody in this room has been through as much as Job went through. But he held on to that hope, and because of that, he had patience, and it never did become easy for Job. He got his butt kicked for the rest of that book, including by God, but he saw his way through. He knew that to lose that patience means to lose that hope, and that's when we really start to worry. Psalm 37 is a psalm very much concerned with why do people who don't deserve to succeed still have success. It's looking at why do the evil people prosper and what do we do about that. And this psalm simply says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. What does it look like when you are not waiting patiently? You fret. You worry. You get caught up in what's going on over there. You get caught up on why do they get that and I don't get that and I got here first and they've got their food and I don't even have my drinks yet. We start to worry when we start to lose patience and we look around and we lose sight of what God has promised us. A few Proverbs pick up on this idea about not just what can be gained by being patient, but what can be lost when you forget. Whoever is patient has great understanding. The quick-tempered displays folly. Hot-tempered person stirs up a conflict. The one who's patient calms a quarrel. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Let it go. Patience means not having to worry about every little thing. And a major reason that we are called to let go and to wait and to not be in a hurry is because we have a great example of one who does the same. We remember God is patient too. We've looked a few times last year in the framework of our studying the Bible in the year. We looked a few times at Nehemiah 8, 9, and 10, where the people come together and the law was read and they were trying to turn back to God. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, we have I've been told, and I'm going to choose to believe it because I'm not going to do all of the checking, that Nehemiah 9 is the longest prayer in the Bible. And they're confessing and they're recounting all the things that God has done and talking about all of the things that God has done for the people and the ways that the people have responded. And so a few verses out of this, this is expressed speaking to God. It says, you warned them in order to turn them back to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances. Of which you said, the person who obeys them will live. Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you and became stiff-necked and refused to listen. You remember that? Yeah, a lot of stories like that. For many years, talking to God, you were patient with them. By your Spirit, you warned them through your prophets, yet they paid no attention. So you gave them into the hands of neighboring peoples. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Why do we be patient? God is patient. Think of all we have put God through in waiting for us to come around. And God has never said, that's enough. I've had enough. And I'm done. The letters of Peter pick up on this idea. And the first part of this can take us down another rabbit hole, and that'll be a different lesson. But 1 Peter picks up on this idea of God waiting for His people. It's talking about Christ after the crucifixion. After being made alive, He went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits. Don't bug me about that one later. Well, maybe another time. To those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Do you ever think about God's role of waiting in that? How long did it take to build that boat? Long time. Could God have said, bibbidi bobbidi boat, here you go, get on, we're going. God waited. Because we need to learn to follow. We need to learn to trust. Perhaps God was waiting for the possibility that more people might end up on that boat. I don't know. But Peter said God was patient. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but a pledge of clear conscience towards God. So God, he was patient then, and he is patient now. A few survived. Now he's waiting for all to make that decision. And 2 Peter says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. God could very easily say, all right, we've got enough. I'm tired of waiting. It's all over. Someday it's going to happen. And we say, why does God wait? Well, what if God didn't wait for you? What if God decided the day before you made that decision that I've waited long enough? Where do you stand? Maybe there's somebody tomorrow. I don't know exactly how the timing works. I don't know exactly how, if we're talking percentages and quotas, or if God, I don't know how it's going to work. But Peter says, our Lord's patience means salvation. God is patient too. And so as we wrap up this week and we look forward to studying more about these ideas of patience, I just want to end with the thought where we began. Thinking about others. On one hand, that is, think of all the times that others have had to wait for you. Think of the way that God has been patiently waiting for us to win over those things in our lives that keep us apart from God. And this also says, think of the others around us who are not just faceless extras. We like to think sometimes, we feel sometimes that we are the star of the movie of our life and all the supporting cast. Yeah, you guys probably all get characters listed because you're pretty close to me. But you know, those people we go by, they're just, you know, hey, get the stormtroopers. They don't even have names, right? They're just there to fill out the scene. We may not think of it in those harsh terms, but sometimes we live like the people around us are the extras. Why do I have to wait? Because God calls us to be something more than that selfishness. God has called us to salvation. God has called us to change the world that we're in, and it doesn't happen fast. So, if you have some thoughts about patience, I'd love to hear them. I'm going to put something up on the Facebook asking about who do you think of when you think of patience, and hopefully we'll get some good discussion there as we get into next week when we look at some of those portraits of patience. But for this morning, you've waited long enough. We're going to wrap this up. Bill's going to come up. We're going to sing a song. But if there's anything you need, we want to hear about it. nobody would have a problem being further back in the drive-through line because you came and asked for prayers or you came and asked for baptism. I'm told this is up and running now. If there's anything you do need, please, we want to hear. Come forward and tell us as we stand and sing.
There's a call comes ringing, you're the wrestler.